This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
are in an attitude of worship now, that the Holy Spirit will just come and tug at your heart and just surface the things that He wants to deal with this afternoon. You know what, we come to church and we've got different reasons for doing so, and Yolandi said it previously, you could have been so many other places and yet you chose to be here. But it still is God ordained. And this afternoon I believe that you are at the exact place that God wants you to be at this time. And He has something in store in your life that's going to change your life forever. Father, we thank You that we can rest assured that You are in control of our lives. That You love us. As Simeon said, You love us so much that You will not chase us away. You are in this place. And tonight we ask that You will speak to each one of us in such a special way. Make Yourself known to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can have a seat. Thank you, worship team. You guys are amazing. Can I take you with? You guys are going to come and visit us one of these days. We are looking forward to that. For those of you that don't know, I'm from London. It's that side of the Brexit border. we're still fighting over it, but we'll have some clarity one of these days. But it's amazing to freely travel to you still. I want to share a message with you this afternoon. I prayed about what should I share with you guys. And I'm actually on holiday. And, you know, it's amazing how it works that everyone's issues always, you know, surface in the holidays. I don't know how it works. Probably because you have more time to think over things that you did through the year. Eh? I don't know how it works. But then my church, you know, all the chaos happens when you go on holiday. They all call you and say, listen, I'm in the hospital. Please come and visit me. Or I desperately need some counseling. So I had your pastor phoning me this week and saying that he has a crisis as well. And you know, I said, I will give up my holiday to be here for one day in the Netherlands, because I always love coming here. It's amazing. And it's summer here. I don't know. Yesterday, we had a storm there in the UK. I'm glad to be here. It's really a blessing. My heart goes out to your pastor. I spoke to another pastor this week, and he lost his son last year through cancer. And he said to me, you know, for him, the saddest thing is that nobody came to speak to the church to prepare them for the journey that they were on the last year. It was such a difficult journey for them as a family to deal with the pain that surfaced in this season of their lives. And he said he so wished that some other pastor would just come to his church and just prepare the church for what they would go through. Because the last year they were journeying with the church, and the church didn't know how to deal with it. And you know, I was thinking over it, and when Derkian, you know, called me, I realized that we must have this conversation more often. So I took a few notes out of Christelle, you know, Christelle, my book, out of her notes, and I'm going to share with some of it with you this afternoon. But you know, sometimes we look at the people around us in the workplace and, you know, in society, and you think, you know, they do so ungodly things and yet they prosper. Okay. Again, it's the sinful pastor here from London. Luckily, it's not here in the Netherlands that you guys need to deal with it. But you know, sometimes I look at the other people and I think, you know, God, I'm so faithful. I'm always serving You faithfully and choosing the narrow road. I'm always, you know, choosing the right thing, and yet I don't have a Lamborghini or a Porsche or any of those things, or a big house like some of the mansions there in Wimbledon where I live. God, how does it work? And then you wrestle with God. You ask him these questions. You know, why do we as Christians suffer? Why do good people go through suffering? Why do good people suffer and sometimes, you know, struggle to the extent where they need to wrestle through these things with God? And then you look at people that are even frustrated because they feel that God is not coming through for them. They're going through suffering because they've got an expectation toward God and that expectation is not met. I don't know if you feel like that sometimes. It looks like here in the Netherlands, you've got godly pastors. It looks like you are all prepared for things like this. But sometimes in the UK, things like that happen to me and to the church that I'm from. We feel sometimes, you know, that God, just speak to us. We want to wrestle with you. We want to have these conversations with you because it's not easy conversations. But if we don't have them, you know, we as Christians are the charismatic bunch that always like to and have nice worship music, and we forget that God is a real God that wants to journey with us. God is so committed to us that he wants to have those conversations with us, because there's reasons why these things are happening with us, and we sometimes, ignorant as we are, miss out on the blessing that God wants to bring into our lives. And I want to have that conversation with you this afternoon because I believe some of you need this conversation. I believe some of you need a reality check in your life to deal with things that you might always put on the back burner and never deal with it. And so when I prayed for you guys, I felt that God wants to speak about the suffering in your life, the things, the frustrations that is maybe lying there for too many years, and God wants to actually start to deal with them bit by bit, because it won't happen all at once. So, suffering is losing something that you previously had and experiencing the consequence of being without it. Lost is to be deprived of something that brings a lack to you. Now, you can have loss of a few things. A loss of loved ones, as we've seen now in Pastor Derkian's life. He's a dad that passed away. Somebody that passed away in your family that was very close to you, and that you, believe it will get better, but yet, you know, you will take the memories with you always. And it's difficult, the loss of it. The loss of health, you've got a physical disability that you feel God did not come through for you. A loss of broken relationship, divorce, family fights, a loss, a lack of finance. You needed financial breakthrough. Maybe you are sitting here and you trusted God and you feel disappointed because God did not come through as you expected him to come through. You needed financial breakthrough and it feels as if God did not come through for you. Loss of ability. You feel you don't have what it takes to overcome certain challenges. A loss of dignity. Somebody did not honor you as a person and you got offended. Are you still with me this afternoon? Lots of loss that happens in our lives. A loss of desire to live. You don't see a future for yourself and no reason for living. And then we ask the question, why did God let all these things happen? Is God really good? Is God alive? Is God in control of our lives? Does God really care? And there's a few reasons that I want to put before you this afternoon, and there might be even more of them, but I think biblically these are the most evident ones. Let's go to Job chapter 1, verse 1 to 12. I'm going to read extensive pieces of scripture out of Job. So if you have your Bible with you, it will help. So Job chapter 1, verse 1 to 12. In the land of Uz, there was a blameless and upright man named Job. who feared God and avoided evil. Remember that. Who feared God and avoided evil. Did Job, and I want to ask the question right now, did Job deserve to have difficulty and suffering coming against him? Woo-hoo. Are you still with me? Did Job deserve to be punished? Okay, there's somebody that's alive in this place. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. And he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a great number of work animals, so that he was, I don't know, how do you get to the place where you get excited about 500 she-asses? You know, donkeys always feel to me like difficult and strange beings. And a great number of work animals, so that he was greater than any of the men in the East. This is really an influential man. His sons used to take turns giving feasts, sending invitations to their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When each feast had run its course, Job would send for them and sanctify them, because he really were afraid of what was busy happening in their lives, rising early and offering holocausts for every one of them. For Job said, "It might be that my sons have sinned and blasphemed God in their hearts." This Job did habitually. One day, when the Son of God came to present themselves before God, the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "When do you come?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming the earth and patrolling it." Okay, so Satan does patrol the earth, believe it or not. Some of you might think that it's only a story. And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job, and that there is none on the earth like him, blameless and upright, fearing God and avoiding evil?" But Satan answered the Lord and said, "Is it for nothing that Job is God-fearing? Have you not surrounded him and his family and all that he has with protection? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his livestock are spread over the land. But now put forth your hand and touch anything that he has, and surely he will blaspheme you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay hand on his person." Okay. Is there a boundary that God is placing in Job's life? Who's in control of Job's life? Okay, I'm glad you're saying it. Because some of you might feel that the devil is ruling in your life, and that sometimes he's plundering and taking hold of your life in such a way that God will not be able to take control again. My message to you this afternoon is God is always in control of the boundaries in your life. Let's get to Job chapter 2, verse 4 to 10. "And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin, all that a man has will he give for his life.'" Okay, so Job now lost everything except his life. And the devil was back, and he wants to know if God would go any further. "But now put forth your hand and touch his bone and his flesh," his health, "and surely he will blaspheme you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "He's in your power. Only spare his life." Again, who's in control of Job's life? God is in control of Job's life. "And he took a potsherd to scrape himself as he sat among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, 'Are you still holding to your innocence?'" Now, I don't know about you, but it must be difficult to have a wife like this. "Are you still holding to your innocence? Curse God and die." She's not really helping the cause. Eh? "But he said to her, 'Are even you going to speak as senseless woman do? We accept good things from God, and should we not accept evil?' Though all this, Job said nothing sinful. Yoch, this is a godly man. So, Job was blameless. Even the enemy had to accept this. Job was also the ultimate man of sufferings. He was the one that lost loved ones. He was the one that lost finances, health, dignity, ability, desire to live. All those things Job went through. And yet, he was also at a place where he did not deserve to be punished. Do you agree with me this afternoon? So why did he go through suffering? And my first point this afternoon to you is that we all go through suffering from time to time because we need to be tested. And this is a difficult one. And strange that we understand this in the world out there. You can't go to a next grade if you don't, right? Okay, some of you have not been at school for a while. Or did the schooling system change so much that I've lost track here? You need to go through an exam in order to go to the next level. You need to be tested on where you are at in order to go to the next level of your life. Now, it's the same for you and I in our walk with Christ. Is that as we grow in Christ and become more like Him, we need to be tested to see if we are busy embracing the principles of God in our lives in order to cement the things that is so important to bring us to life and godliness. So was God aware of Job's suffering? Yes, God was aware of his suffering. Was God in control? Yes, very much so. God called the shots. So, God put a hedge around Job's life, and the enemy could not steal from Job except if God allowed him to do so. My message to you this afternoon is sometimes we go through testing, and yet God will not test us above the things that we can handle. Temptation comes from the enemy. But testing comes from God. Testing leads to character. Temptation leads to sin. And I want to say to you this afternoon, I'm not talking about the temptations that leads us to sin, because the enemy brings temptations against us to fall. But the place of testing comes from God, and God allows it so that we can grow into more maturity with Him. God stays in control of our lives. And Satan cannot contradict that. God is in control of our lives, and sometimes he allows suffering. You know, for me, it's so rest assuring that I know that God is still calling the shots, that even though things are sometimes going difficult in my life, I know that there's a God that loves me so much that even though I go through difficult times, He still allows me to be safe in his hands, under His shelter, under His wing. My message to you is God has you under His wing. Secondly, the consequence of sin, 2 Samuel 12:9. Let's quickly go through that. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight? And this is now David, and we know that David desired Bathsheba and laid with her, and he killed then Uriah the Hittite, her husband, by first of all hoping that he would sleep with his wife so that David could disguise the child that he got from this woman. And and then at the end he was Uriah was so faithful to his men in the field that he said, I will not leave my men in the field. And so David made sure that he was in the front line and he was killed so that David could take his wife. You've killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You have taken his wife to your wife and have killed him with a sword at the people of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me. You have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife, Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. And we know that these things all happened to David. My message to you this afternoon is, even though David received forgiveness from God, he still had to bear the consequence of his decisions. This baby died at the end. And David did go through a lot of exile in his own castle. And at the end, a lot of things was taken from him. All his sons came against him. And he was running for his life. You know, my message to you is sometimes we bear the consequence of decisions that we've made in this life. And yet, because we were forgiven, there's still consequences to those decisions. You know, for me, I like that old story of the kid touching the stove. And even though you can forgive the kid because you said to the kid, don't touch the plate, you can't take away the burn. They will have to deal with the consequences, and that will hinder them to not do it again. I want to say to you, sometimes we go through difficult circumstances because of decisions that we made in the past. Thirdly, we suffer for a purpose. Joseph was such a man. Joseph, you know, was a man that stood for the principles of God, and yet he did not deserve to be punished the way that he was punished, even though he was quite arrogant, and yes, he... you know, probably deserved a few, few words from his brothers. But still, going through such adversity was probably not necessary in Joseph's life. But if it was not for Joseph, Israel would not be at a place of provision. Jesus was such an example, suffering for a purpose. Did Jesus deserve to be punished on a cross to die? And yet he went to the cross so that he could die for our sins. And then lastly, before I speak about how do we overcome suffering, is that we are in a sinful world. We live in an unfair, sinful world. And bad things happen. And we don't always have control over that. And yet, one day we will be with the King of all kings, the one that would lead us to be in paradise with him. And I want to just say to you, there's many reasons why suffering is happening in our lives, and yet you're sitting here this afternoon, you're thinking through it, you know, where do I find myself? And I want to say to you this afternoon, the victory starts in the overcoming part. The fact that if you stay in a place of suffering, being a suffering freak, because that's easy to become. Do you know that you can become a suffering freak? Some Christians believe that the more you suffer, the more holy you become. They always complain when you get to them about how bad things are happening to them. Okay, again, in the Netherlands, it's the land of milk and honey. Yeah, I know. You know, you guys are not in need of anything. But, you know, some people, when you get to them as Christians, always just complain about something, or they tell this bad story, and it's almost as if they find their identity in the negative things that's happening in their lives. And I want to say to you this afternoon, do you know that you can become a suffering freak? That you can become so focused on always surviving that you never come to be the victor and reign over your circumstances. So we've been as a church going through quite a lot of testing the last few weeks, and we've been praying. I don't know how it's happened. As I said, you know, I'm on holiday. It's not supposed to happen. You know, it's so beautiful to see how each one of those individuals are busy fighting their battles and overcoming them and getting victory over their tests. And you know what? They are becoming victors over their circumstances. They choose not to walk away from the battle that God has brought to them. So last Saturday night, one of the girls in our church, Chrissy, she preached, because I'm on holiday, and she preached at the church. And the Saturday night, she called me and she said to me, "Listen, I'm in A&E, the emergency ward here in the hospital, because I've got blood pressure of, I don't always know what these blood pressure things is, but it's something 200. It was terrible. I don't know if it's a high or a lower or whatever, but it was terrible, okay?" And she was in a terrible state. And she said to me, "I must preach tomorrow morning, and I don't know what I should do." And I said to her, "Well, what is God saying?" She said, "God said that I must stop being the victim and I must overcome this one, because this is my battle to fight. I must pass this test because I'm not going to be the victim of my circumstances. I've got a role to play tomorrow. I've got a word that God has given me. I'm going to preach that word." So she stood strong, and I didn't even go to church on Sunday because she preached. She's passing her test. And so I can take you through the church, so many people at this stage that I'm just encouraging. I'm saying, listen, I know that you don't see the light yet, but just keep on pushing, because you're not a victim. You are a victor. And God wants you to rule over your circumstances. Don't become a suffering freak. Start to overcome the things in your life, because you have the strength of Christ in your life. And so some people would go around the mountain for 40 years and for 40 years and for 40 years. And let me tell you tonight, 40 years can kill you if you keep on doing that for the rest of your life. Because sometime you are going to lose heart and you're not going to get to the promised land. And my word to you tonight is, don't fall for victimhood. Start to reign over your circumstances. Strange how our young people these days are, you know, almost brainwashed into always using causes or reasons why they are not having victory in their lives. There's always something that's happening that's causing them not to see victory. I want to say to you guys, we must teach our young people to stand strong, to become the people that God has called them to be, and to get through the adverse circumstances to become the victors that God wants them to be. I'm saying that in fear and trembling. I've got two teenagers in my house, and it is quite an experience. Just keeping them busy over the holidays, hard work, I can tell you that. But one thing that I do know is God wants us to teach them to be overcomers. So, how do you overcome suffering? First of all, don't run away from your pain. Face it. Always, there will be a temptation to run away from God, to run away from your circumstances and not to deal with it. And guess what? It will always follow you. And so, we would rather use, the next job, the next city, the next circumstances, because that is hopefully better than the one that we are in currently. And we never learn to deal with the circumstances that we are currently in. My word to you this afternoon is, face your circumstances. Face the adversity in your life. Listen to this one, Psalm 46 verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God." Zephaniah 3 verse 17, "He will quiet you with his love." There's a place that you and I need to push into as we run to God and not from God in dealing with our pain. When we approach God, he heals. It hurts. You come face to face with your pain. Although healing is a process, time does not heal. Are you with me this afternoon? Time does not heal. Unless you come to face your circumstances, you will drag those painful memories with you for the rest of your life. There's a place that you need to go and sit before God and cry and work it through and be honest with God and with even the people that you love around you. You just get used to the pain and drag it with you. Number two, don't look for comfort from people. People fail. God heals, people support. God is the one that brings healing. So what I normally see with Christians is that they would go from the one person to the other person, to the other person, to the other person, and they will ask for advice from all of their friends, and at the end they are more confused than ever because they never run to God. There's only one that can bring healing, and that is God. You need to go to God. You need to face Him in your hurt. You need to even talk about the offense with Him. God, where were you in my circumstances? Where were you the times when things did not go well? God, why did you not come through for me? And so some of us think that it's sin to ask God these things, and I want to say to you this often, if you don't ask God these things, in your heart you will start disbelieving that He's really a true God that really loves you. Until you can get to those real questions and you can ask them to God and you can allow Him to have an honest conversation with you. Number three, you need the support of people. Okay? Even though people cannot bring healing, they can support you. They can be around you. God sent support. Now, I want to just quickly mention friendship to you, because some people think that friendship just falls out of the sky, and they think that when they are part of a church, the church are just supposed to surround them with friendships and keep them happy and always just organize the next barbecue. What do you do here in the Netherlands? Waffles or what? Is it soccer here? Is it not football? You're American. So, guys, it's strange that we as Christians don't understand that if you want a friend, you must... Okay, there's one person here that's awake. You must be a friend. Okay? If you struggle to have friends in this church, I can tell you it's not going to fall from the sky. It's hard work. You know, I love my wife. She loves me. But guess what? If we don't spend time together, we want to scratch one another's eyes out. Okay, that ungodly pastor from... Luckily, you guys don't have this pastor in this church. Guys, that's how it works. Because it's relationship is hard work. There's a place that you and I must lay down our lives, and as we do that, we start to love people more. Because you will only die for people that you love, people that you sacrifice for, people that you lay your life down for. Respect people's boundaries. And this is important one. I want to say this this afternoon, that sometimes we need to just respect it when people go through suffering and they say to you, no, leave me alone. Proverbs 25:17, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. It is usually people who look to you for their healing and not to God. You know, what I want to say to you this afternoon, just in friendship, make sure that when you support people, that you also respect the boundaries that they lay down. Because relationship can only grow if you respect their boundaries. Then don't abuse friendship, especially when people are vulnerable. Okay, number four, let's go on. Do not deny your pain. Do not fall into self-pity. Have you seen people that has this message on their forehead? Danger, explosion about to happen. Have you seen people like that? You're so careful to say anything to them because they're just going to explode on you. And I want to say to you this afternoon, the reason for that is that we sometimes deny our pain so much that we don't allow people to actually speak into our lives. My message to you this afternoon is, if you don't deal with your pain, you will always be about to explode. You will always overreact in circumstances when you are supposed to surrender and to be vulnerable and to receive healing in your life. Number 5, don't join a pity party. Be surrounded by positive people when you are in a negative state. Okay? Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Guys, it's so easy to, when we are in difficult circumstances, to be around people that moan and complain about everything and are negative about everything, and it drags us down. When you go through suffering, surround yourself with people that are overcomers, people that are going through victory now. I'm not saying, you know, avoid all negative people for the rest of your life. I'm saying that when you are going through difficult circumstances, when you go through suffering, make sure to surround yourself with people that can overcome, because they will help you through your circumstances. Reach out and be a blessing to others. Number 6, Job 42, verse 10. Let's quickly read that one. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Do you know that most people that I counsel that struggle to overcome are self-centered, focused on their own needs? Even their prayers, and it's easy to actually discern that. When they pray, they only pray for themselves in their own circumstances. Are you with me this afternoon? May this be a test to all of us, because I can tell you, I'm at that place many times, where I'm so self-focused and praying for my own budget and my own, you know, my children and my own household, and I forget to actually have an outer focus. Not even for my children. I would only pray for my own sake. I want to say to you this afternoon, the sign of somebody that's an overcomer is always somebody that can pray for other people and stand in faith for other people's breakthroughs. And it's easy to see who's the people that struggles to overcome. They always focus on their own circumstances. So Job's losses, when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Okay? I can tell you, these people are not giving this to Job because he has overcome. But there's true relationships forged through a man that sacrificially prayed, not just for his sons and his daughters, but he was a man that knew how to pray for his friends, how to pray for his city, how to pray for the welfare of those who are even set above him. My question to you this afternoon is, in the midst of your test, how much are you focusing on your own pity party? Quickly stand, because I can see there's fresh air needed, and I know it's the sound, but let's quickly turn around and do this, because I need you to listen to the last part of this message. I can see that it's very hot in this place. I know it's because of the sound, but stand strong with me. Okay, just shake the person next to you without breaking their necks. Okay, you need to listen to the last part, so please be focused. Find your seats. Thanks, guys. So the last one that we spoke about was reach out and be a blessing to others. Your healing will come through bringing healing to other people. Do you know that there's so many times that I've, in my own life, wanted healing in certain areas of my life, and then God would send other people that need healing, and I see their breakthroughs and I don't see my own. Until I start to pray for them and trust God for their breakthroughs, and then I even forget about my sickness. I want to say to you this afternoon, reach out and be a blessing to others, and you will see breakthrough in your own life. Number 7, and there's 9 of them, so just stand strong. Number 7, make a definite choice before the testing comes. Make a definite choice that when adversity comes to your doorstep, that you will choose the Lord your God, and you will always exalt Him in your circumstances. Because if not, when you go through circumstances, you're going to find yourself to be weak. But if you've made commitments before you go through your circumstances, I remember years ago, I just came into the ministry, and I had these amazing fathers in the faith around me that that I learned from. And I remember one of the pastors lost a child at 8.5 months pregnancy, and they were crying, or we all cried around the hospital bed, and I remember the pastor saying, listen, today is a day that we're going to worship God in and among our circumstances. And he himself, going through such difficulty, started to sing this beautiful song toward God. I will not forget that for the rest of my life. Those moments when in the midst of your circumstances, you cry out to God and you say, God, you are still the blessing of my life. You are still the faithful God. You're still in control of my life. I choose to follow you. Although the fig tree does not blossom, I will keep on trusting you. Make a definite choice. Listen to Job 2 verse 9. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Because when circumstances come, you will have enough people that will drag you down, that will convince you not to believe in God, not to follow him, that will counsel you in negativity. Daniel 3 verse 14. Listen to this one. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at this time, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and so many other instruments and stuff. You fall down and worship the image which I have made. Good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship gold image which you have set up. Guys that chose in the midst of their circumstances to always follow God. Number 8, gain from your suffering. Humble yourself and learn from your brokenness. Job 42, verse 1. Let's quickly go there. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Make sure to humble yourself and to learn from your brokenness.
know, there's times in my life that, you know, I stepped out and I trusted God for things that I believe that was from Him. And then it did not happen. Now, there's many reasons, and we can have a debate about that for the rest of this afternoon. Is it going to happen later in my life? You know, did I miss the timing of it? Did I just hear incorrectly? One thing that I can tell you is the most beautiful thing about circumstances like that is when you go through difficult circumstances, after going through it, to sit down with God and allow yourself to have that conversation with God. God, where did I miss you? God, why are you allowing this to happen in my life? This is the beautiful part of Job's life. The fact that he asked God so many questions. And I can tell you the victory did not lie in the many blessings that he received afterwards, the double portion. For Job, the reward lied within the conversation with God, the journey with God. That changed his life forever. My message to you this afternoon is, are you journeying with God? Are you even allowing God to get into those hurtful places? Before I get there, last one. Go to the Word of God. Psalm 119:105. We all know this well-known scripture. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word directs us in our healing, but also it let your feet walk in the light. It's not just a direction, but it's also a place to bring you back to, a place where you can again walk in the ways of God, and a place where you can again embrace the things of God. And so, listen to the end of Job's life. This is beautiful. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. Can we stand quickly? Just quickly, because I need you to be awake now. Worship team, you guys can maybe just respond. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep. Ooh, listen to this, it's even getting worse. 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys now. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second, whatever name, it's amazing. I'll rather leave that to Simeon to pronounce. And the name of, and that's also a Simeon name, in all the land were found no woman so beautiful as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children. I don't know if that is a blessing. 140 years. I don't know if I want to get that old. But praise God. And saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. So I want to get back to the question. This life and its enticements. Strange how when you get older, life starts to, or the priorities of life starts to make more sense. I love it to speak to older people. There's one thing that I always see in older people's lives. It's as if things don't faze them. They've seen it all. They know how to prioritize crisis. Where we, you know, get excited about all things, they say, "Ach, yeah, no, just relax. You know, just get over it. Your kid will heal. You will tomorrow see the next morning again." And Brexit will happen and we will all still live after it. Okay? The more we go through suffering, the more we learn to abide in God. The more we learn to get to that place where God becomes the priority in our lives. You might be standing here this afternoon and say to me, yes, you don't know my circumstances, Pastor. You don't have a clue. You probably have this amazing life, being in the ministry, and have 3 kids. I'm alone. I'm through hell in my life. I know. One thing I can tell you this afternoon, God did not forsake you. He did not forget about you. And some of you just need to take that key out this afternoon and stop the devil from stealing from your life. Because God is still in control. Stop being the victim for the rest of your life because God loves you so much that He wants to just say to you this afternoon, my darling, let's journey. I've got double portions for you. I've got more than you can ever imagine. Stop going around to the old things in your life. Father, thank you for your embrace this afternoon. You are tangible in this place. You are. Surrounding your people. Even that some of you are waiting for one day is breakthrough. You're waiting for someday there's going to be an amazing thing happening in your life. And God is saying, it's never going to happen if you wait for it. And journey with me. I want to talk about it with you. Oh God, this afternoon we stand before you with hearts of frustration, hearts of pain. Some of us, Father God, even hearts of despair. Some of us, Father God, hearts of emptiness, we feel alone. Some of us are standing in front of you today, Father God, even with bitter hearts, Father God. We still felt that you could have made things easier for us. Now, God, I ask in Jesus' name that you will come and meet us now. So that we can deal with these things. We're not going to leave it for tomorrow. We know it's not going to happen over one day. It's going to be a journey. But Father, today we want to start. We want to step into a process of healing with you. Oh Jesus, we love you. We love you. We love you. If you're standing in this place this afternoon and you know it's time to pull out the keys, then I want you to be faithful and just responding. You know, this is not for my purpose. We don't take stats, so don't worry. I don't feel bad if you don't come. But one thing that I do know is there is a release that happens when we respond. When we bow our knees before God and we allow Him to to speak to us. And if that is you this afternoon, I want to ask you just to quickly step out and come to the front as we're going to just pray with you. We don't have the answers, but one thing that I do know is God is in this place. Can you quickly do so? Don't wait. If the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, just respond. There's business with God. Just allow Him to do it. As long as it takes, because this is special times of God. Or feel that there's a person here that there's old family disputes that God wants to deal with. There's trauma that happened fighting in the family, and this afternoon God says that it's time to deal with it. I feel that you've actually done the right thing with it. You forgave and you trusted to walk on. What God says, listen, it's now the next layer. I want to actually release you from this thing. If that is you, I want you to respond. Because that thing is bringing a deep wound that is surfacing every time. And it's painful. I know it's painful. It's something that you don't want to open again. God is saying, come to me. Oh. Somebody standing here this afternoon. Trusted God in the past to move in the miraculous. I don't know if it was for a gift of healing or even just to speak in tongues. And it feels as if God failed you. And you didn't want to make it an issue, but till today it's just like a blockage to hinder you to flow in His gifts for your life. And I just feel that tonight God wants to deal with it. Oh yes, Jesus. Oh yes, Jesus. Just respond if that is you. And somebody here tonight, you were so close to go to jail. You were so close. It is as if you were so close to being caught out. And it feels like, you know, your life is always on the edge. You always push the limits to a place where you almost get caught. Tonight I just feel that exact thing is because of identity. God tonight wants to deal with your identity. He wants to come and assure you of His plans and purposes for your life. You don't need to be
this living on the edge person. To be a somebody. God loves you for who you are. If that is you, I want you to respond this afternoon. Because you know what? You're not wrong when you get caught up. You're wrong when you're doing the wrong thing. God sees. And He's saying tonight to you, stop living on the cliff edge. It's time to turn to Him. One thing that's very vague to me, but I just feel that there's somebody that tried a business in the past and it failed. And you're still bitter with God about that. And tonight God wants to deal with it. Because He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. I actually see Him smiling over you. Accepting you for who He is, who you are. He always did. He never thought of you differently. Father, I thank You for what You are doing in the lives of people here tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray now that You will come and touch each one of us, Father God, in a very special place. Father, that each one of us will have the opportunity to turn that key now and pull it out. And Father God, to not allow the enemy to steal and destroy from our lives again. We accept tonight that even tests come to us, Father God. But it is so that we can overcome. Not so that we become victims. So that we get, Father God, to go through more pain. But oh God, You want us to have that conversation with You. And tonight I pray for every person standing here. Your words are true. You are so clear about the ways in which You want to engage with us. Truthful relationship. If you heard some of the things that I've said tonight, and you're still not in front, I just want to encourage you. This is not an auction. I don't want to even be at a place where you feel I'm now nagging you. I just don't want to miss out on the blessing of what God wants to do tonight, this afternoon in your life. So please just come to the front. Father, I thank You for each person standing now in Your presence truthfully. I bring all the things, Father God, that You are putting on the table today, Father, in front of us, to You. And as You are standing here in front of us, as You are here with us, because You promised us that You will be there when we are together in Your name. As You are standing here in front of us, Father God, I pray that each one of us will be able to have that conversation with You in the name of Jesus. We're going to pray for the people here in front. We can have a soft music or even a song if you want. Marco or Lani, I don't know who's leaving tonight. You guys are doing it so effortlessly. If we can just focus on God. If you are in desperate need of coffee, please don't feel obliged to stay. Please go and get some of these strip waffles. So first come, first serve. If you run quickly, you can get it. But if you need ministry tonight, and if you're standing in front, please relax. There's probably Mari biscuits or something there at the back that we can offer you later on. But don't
trying to walk away from this place without just one prayer with you. And trust God tonight to be speaking to your life. Amen. Thank you.
In the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me your vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. Oh, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. And so I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. So make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. Oh, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Oh, sing Jesus, Jesus, bring.
So
Jesus, bring your wine out of me. Oh, Jesus, bring your wine out of me. For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. This is real. the goodness of God.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.